been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday live edition of the Best Stocks Now show. This is professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our resident chartered financial analyst. And we'll begin with the good news. If you Social Security recipient, you're going to get the biggest raise you've ever got in your life next year, 8.7%. Why? Inflation and the CPI number. You know, we were afraid of it. We thought it was a great possibility, and it did come in hotter than expected. The market has recovered quite a bit, though, from the initial shock. The Dow was down 500 at one point. The Dow is down just 156 right now, and that's just a half a percent after a roller coaster day yesterday in the markets. The S&P is down 1%, however, and it's clear down to 3542. We continue to break support levels. The NASDAQ down 188. That's a 1.8% hit, but it has come back. It was down almost 300 not too long ago. But the NASDAQ chart looks terrible. It continues to break support levels. The small caps down 1.7% today. Crude oil is down 36 cents, 86.91. Gold is down $22 per ounce, 16.55. The 10-year, well, there it is, a four handle.
It's at four, right?
Yeah. It is at four. Oh, yeah. I'm showing up 11 basis points.
Wow.
And, of course, our big inverse holdings against interest rates, TBT, are having a very, very good day. And let's see. So the 10-year's at 4.01, and Bitcoin's down 696 to 18,433. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show, and it is the inverse funds leading the way. Our inverse fund holdings are surging here this morning as the inflation report came in hotter than expected. It was 0.4, right? Or was it 0.3?
Yeah, 0.4. 0.4. They were looking for 0.2. Of course,
wow.
You know, the last month it was 0.1. So, you know, moving back in the wrong direction. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, just a trip to Walmart, you know, or to a Harris Teeter or to Kroger or any grocery store is going to confirm that inflation continues to run pretty much wild.
And that's what we said.
Yeah, yeah, we predicted
climbed,
that.
Yeah, food index climbed 0.8% in September. I mean, it's which was the same exact rise that it had in August. So,
ouch.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, anyways, we had a market that was all over the map yesterday. You know, it's getting pretty bad. Here's the wording that Seeking Alpha chose for yesterday's market. Vomit-inducing session ends with lower close.
That almost makes me want to throw up just reading it.
Yes. I mean, I didn't think it was that bad, but somebody over there at Seeking Alpha must have had a rough day. And that was the headline that he used to describe yesterday's session. Last night's Padre-Dodger game was, you know, a game for the ages, really. I mean, for the Padres to beat the Dodgers in L.A. You know, I think a Dodger fan hacked our website, too, today, Barry. That's what someone was telling me. I don't see any trouble,
really?
but I think it's okay. Anyways, that was a classic game. You got to love a good, well-played baseball game like that.
Yeah.
The intensity.
And coming out on top. Right.
Yeah.
And coming out on top. You know.
So intense, I mean, from start to finish. But you know what? That L.A. Dodger Stadium with all the noise and music, and it is the most annoying stadium. It's almost unlistenable to listen to the organ and the drums pounding in people's ears. No wonder they get up and leave early. German CPI rises in line with forecast. You know, it was only 10% in Germany year over year. 10%, that's in line with forecast. But that just shows you that this is not a problem just here in the U.S. And I would just say that a lot of this inflation problem, you can point the finger squarely at the decisions that have been made about oil and gas and energy.
Yeah, I mean, energy's up a year over year, 19, you know, and this includes all energy, 19.8%. So there's 20% right there, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they decided to limit the production of much-needed fuel in Europe, and winter is around the corner. You know, Putin is licking his chops, hoping to freeze to death the Europeans. So they have to cave to him, which isn't going to happen. And in the meantime, I mean, the energy and utility bills are skyrocketing. So it's a self-inflicted wound in many regards. And the same could be said. I mean, as long as we're not going to, you know, amp up our production of oil here in the U.S., which we obviously have the capability to do, we're going to continue. That's going to be a continued inflationary environment in that part of the inflation equation. Van Eck does not see inflation coming down to 2% anytime soon. Well, I'd have to agree with that. The UK yields plunge, and you know that's why the futures were actually up pretty solidly. I think the Dow futures were up 300 this morning. And it's because they're continuing to intervene in the United Kingdom with buying of their bonds. And you had the yields plunging, the pound jumping, with officials reportedly working on a tax cut U-turn. They made so many U-turns. Where are they at now? Are the officials are drafting options for Truss on proposed tax cuts?
Yeah, it's called a circle.
They've come 360 now.
Right.
And there's a big fight going on between the Bank of England and with the leadership, Downing Street, in the UK. And a lot of people pointing their finger to the Bank of England governor, Andrew Bailey. Well,
in bad policy, I mean, the thing is, you know, Jerome Powell can't fix bad policy. I mean, bad public policy. I mean, he doesn't have that. He's got some power, but he don't have that kind of power. You know, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I remember Ben Bernanke begging, you know, the Obama administration for some help from the fiscal side of things. Hey, we could really use a little stimulus on the. And no, I mean, they're so set and in their ideology that they continue on with, you know, raising taxes and, you know, cutting back on oil production.
Increased regulation. Yeah.
Increasing regulations, which just throws fuel on the fire when you're headed into a recession, like the whole world is headed into a recession. But there seems to be a coordinated effort to stay the course here, come hell or high water. The Biden administration weighs a ban on Russian aluminum. Well, why would we even be I mean, we should have banned Russian aluminum a long time ago, in my opinion. But that helped the aluminum. I've never had much luck with the aluminum stocks, Alcoa and Rio Tinto and Century Aluminum. It's such a volatile commodity. It's so dang unpredictable. But that is being weighed. Russia's the second largest producer of aluminum. And Russian supplies traditionally account for 10% of total U.S. aluminum imports. So I don't know why we continue to buy Russian aluminum in the first place.
I think, you know, Greenspan made his name actually by trading aluminum. He figured out how much aluminum needed to go into all these airplanes once commercial airline started taking off. And,
yeah,
and he got it right.
So yes,
that's one of his original claims to fame.
Yes, so. And of course in the UK it's aluminium. We had a British.
I can't say it. I can't even. I can
we
say
had
that.
A British CFA, and he was a research analyst at the one of the early firms I worked at. He was quoted in the newspaper all the time. Little short British guy, really good guy, smart guy. And he would always say, it's aluminium. Okay. Japanese yen hits fresh two-decade low as Bank of Japan's loose monetary. See, they refused to hike interest rates over in Japan as their currency. YCS is the inverse fund on the Japanese yen. And it continues to hit new highs as the world is in commotion. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now. Best Inverse Funds Now show. A lot of those inverse funds having a really good day today. Many of them are on my daily, on the trading list that I send out every morning. There were 61 this morning out of a database of 6,057. I narrow it down. That's the list that the best that I can find. Either potential breakouts or recent breakouts or strong, excellent-looking charts along with high rankings in my Best Stocks Now app, which is the first screen to eliminate many of those stocks. I think there's only 200 or so that are B-plus or better right now, and there's maybe another 50 or 60 that are A-plus momentum or better. So that narrows things down a lot, and then, of course, I do that final eyeball check of the chart. And many of those stocks doing very, very well here. I send out that list right now every single day.
When I look at what we are at our holdings at the firm, I mean, you've got it's either, you know, inverse and energy or having a
that's pretty much it. Yep, that's been it here recently. Now, okay, the IEA, this bothers me, and I'm going to let you know one thing, the International Energy Agency, number one, these international agencies, you know, are highly suspect. They're going to blame tipping the global economy into recession on OPEC Plus for their 2 million barrel cut per day. The OPEC Plus decision to cut oil production by 2 million barrels today threatens to push prices to levels that tip the global economy into recession, says the International Energy Agency. Well, you know what? I mean, you could fight back. You could. This next story will explain one of the reasons why we're in the mess that we're in. President Biden has criticized the OPEC Plus move and said he would reevaluate the U.S. diplomatic relationship with Saudi Arabia. Most people listening to this show remember the oil embargo back in the 70s when we were almost entirely dependent upon the Middle East oil. And they have us over a barrel. And that shouldn't be. We should be able, you know, self-sufficiency. If you're self-sufficient, you don't have to rely on bad actors like that. So anyways, they're going to point their finger of blame. Never mind all the mistakes that have been made. They're going to point their finger of blame. Not that I'm any fan of OPEC Plus, but here's the next story. Dutch prosecutors to seek pollution case against Shell and Exxon gas joint venture. They will pursue a pollution case okay, I don't want pollution either, but here's the part that stands out to me. Shell and Exxon have a joint venture on natural gas extraction in the North Sea, okay? The extraction has been almost completely curtailed. Despite, they didn't run out of gas. It's been curtailed in the past 10 years as tremors blamed on drilling damaged buildings and prompted local protests. So this is in the Netherlands, which, you know, has gone really green. They're trying to go really green. But, you know, the fallout, there's where the farmers were, you know, mad because they're going to, you know, cut way back on the fertilizer they can use and whatnot. And they're causing a lot of turmoil to the people that live in that area. You've also got, what country was it yesterday?
New Zealand. New Zealand.
Cattle emissions.
Cattle pee and cattle burps. I'm like,
who's
got
to measure it?
I mean, maybe, I don't know if there's a collar that goes around their neck. I mean, I don't know how
well,
to enforce it.
I'm sure there's a formula. Somebody knows how many times a cow lets loose every day, and they're going to multiply it by the amount of cattle in the herd,
and they're going to
send them a tax bill.
And they're going to destroy, like, their small farms. In New Zealand, you know, cattle farming is a huge, I think it's their number one, I want to say it's their number one export. So.
Yeah, well, okay, so now back to the Netherlands. Groningen fields have a lot of natural gas in them. But the Dutch have capped how much you can take out at 2.8 billion CMs per year, down from 4. They're continuing to cap it. This is all you can take. While in the meantime, natural gas prices are soaring. The IEA is saying we're going to tip into a recession because of rising oil and gas prices, and we're going to blame OPEC, which they have something to do with it, but all these countries that have cut way back, there has to be a bridge. There's no cold turkey in this business. Well, there is cold turkey. If you can't cook the turkey at Thanksgiving, it's going to be cold. You've got to have something to cook it with. And then they rely on Russia, where, to me, extracting the gas in Russia produces just as much pollution into the planet as getting it out of the fields of Holland. It just is. It's very, very weird. Europe coal prices spike. South Africa strike. Wax supply. That's another thing I've seen. I don't know. I see more strikes around the world, like the railroad workers here. We thought that was solved. You know, they're going back. Possibly they're going to have not resolved that conflict. And, you know, there's South Africa. There's been all these strikes and protests, and that just hurts the supply chain. But that's the way it is. Europe coal prices spike as South Africa strike wax supply. Okay, COVID. Okay, COVID is in the news today. Here's another international agency, the WHO, not Baba O'Reilly or Teenage Wasteland, but the WHO says Europe may be entering a new COVID wave. Well, we'll see. Okay, federal judge to rule on lawsuit seeking to overturn student loan forgiveness plan. Well, you had six states that are suing Biden, saying that he doesn't have the power to forgive the student loans. So we'll see how that goes. There's a federal judge. I think that ruling's going to come out here any day. We continue to watch that. Kathy Wood's ARK touched a 30-month trading low. That's in the news today. And, you know, it's all her funds. It's ARKW's down 64% year-to-date. ARKQ is down 45%. ARKG is down 49.7%. And ARK itself, I think, is down about 62%. Okay, well, it is another down day on Wall Street, but it's a good day for the inverse funds. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management, Barry Kite, our CFA. We're a fee-based nationwide virtual firm with clients in almost every state. And clients get the newsletter every week. They can hear my show Monday through Friday. They get the daily trading list if they want. You get the alerts, but you've got, active management versus passive management and unconstrained management versus constrained management, which makes no sense to me to be constrained, and it makes no sense to me to be passive in a very active world, but that's just me. Okay, our next story, you're going to get a big raise. Social Security is going to go up 8.7%. Go out and celebrate. Never mind that everything's going to cost you 9% more. Somehow you still lose in that deal. Yeah, you get the raise, but you can buy the same amount of goods that you bought the year before. Oh, well, easy come, easy go. Okay, I'm seeing a trend here. Well, this story's next. Odds of a powerful rally rising after historic collapse in multiples. Now, we've been talking a lot about the collapse in the multiple, and what this study shows by MKM is exactly what we've been saying. The forward multiple on the S&P 500 has collapsed to about 15x. From a peak of 23x last year. That's almost the exact numbers we've been saying for months now. Well, still, here's what their analyst says. No one believes forward estimates. If recession risks are high, so we can use a mean reverting five-year average for estimates to recreate the exercise. Well, that is a fancy way of saying, well, you know what, because of this doubt about the future earnings, we have to account for that. But I think there's a lot of doubt. Maybe, Barry, the market is not trading at 15x forward PE. If the earnings come in a lot less than it expected, it may be trading at 18 or 19 times forward earnings.
That's right. Yeah, if the E moves, right, then the multiple is moving. So
exactly. Yeah. And here in their study, it says there's only been three times in history when the multiples have dropped more than they've dropped this year. The first one was 1930, and the market went on to go down much lower after the multiple crash. 2001, which I talk about all the time, the dot-com bubble that really burst. And even when the multiple collapsed more than it did this year, the market still went on to get hammered even more after that. And the other example they give is 2008, another one that I point to all the time. I've been through 2001, 2008. I missed the 1930 one. I'm glad of that. But, you know, even with this huge multiple contraction, you can't come in and say, well, why wouldn't you be all over this market right now? Because it's trading at just 15 times forward earnings. Well, how certain is that E in the equation? You're going to take today's S&P 500 price, which is 35.38. Wow, it just keeps breaking support levels. The S&P right now, 35.38, you're going to divide it by the next 12 months of earnings forecast. which, you know, probably somewhere in the 220 area, somewhere in there. But how reliable are those earnings forecasts right now? Well, we're going to start to find out here in the next several days and the next couple of weeks. We're going to get a real good look at where the earnings, I think the earnings forecast are still too high. So we'll see. It's really kind of a mathematical numbers game that the market plays every day. And the market has gotten it right so far. They're saying that the estimates are too high out there. Okay, I'm seeing a move towards actively managed again. It's a pendulum. It swings back and forth. And, you know, because the market was so predictable over all those years from 2008 to from 2009 to 2013 to two, it was very predictable. So, yeah, you know, just set up the robots to readjust your allocation every year. That's how easy it had seemingly gotten. But it's not that easy, okay? You had the Fed pumping it and juicing it, and now that's coming back to haunt you. So I see this movement. I think people out there are seeking active management once again. They're sick of the passive management. We've had many people write to me. I had one lady write to us and said, you know, I really like my broker. We've got a good relationship, but, okay, in other words, she's probably getting clobbered. How much is that relationship costing you? That's an expensive relationship. It can be. So you've got a new ETF coming out. This is kind of interesting. It gives you hedge fund returns, HFND. Bob Elliott, who worked with Ray Dalio at Bridgewater, that's the first ETF that I can remember that is going to mimic how a hedge fund works. And the symbol will be HFND, which we'll be adding to our app. And, of course, the expenses are higher. When
I was
going
to say, are they going to take a 20%
no.
20% fee on the on you know, performance fee?
Yeah, well, it just says here, I don't think they're allowed to do that. 1.03 expense ratio, and the fund is going to consist of 30 to 50 long and short positions. Well, someone else has been doing that for years. And that's what we do here at Gunderson Capital Management. We've been doing it for years. Okay, now, here comes individual companies. What we're watching for is companies that are reporting earnings or companies that are lowering or raising guidance. The first one, Applied Materials, full Q4 outlook lowered. Now, the company is doing this on export regulations impact. The semiconductor sector has just been clobbered. And the SOX, which is inverse the semiconductors, up big again today. It was up even bigger, but it's up 4% right now, hitting a new all-time high, is the SOX, S-O-X-S, which is just opposite, inverse the SOX index, the semiconductor index. But that whole China ban kind of came out of left field, out of nowhere. And it blindsided NVIDIA, it blindsided Applied Materials, it blindsided Intel, and it just made things that were already bad in the semiconductor industry even worse. Applied Materials comes along today and lowers expectations. Applied Materials is down 1.3% on the day, so it could be down more than that. Okay, Delta Airlines reports earnings, member of the S&P 500. The stock is flat, but they missed earnings by two cents, but they beat with their revenues, and they're doing pretty good, actually. Not an industry that has been hammered yet or is guiding lower. The airline industry, pretty robust. Taiwan Semiconductor beats by 11 cents. And their revenue beat. But you know what? In this kind of a market, that's not good enough. Well, it is. I guess Taiwan's up 3.2% TSM.
Yeah, and that's after being down what you know 6% a couple of days ago. It's been like you said, for the chip makers, it was hard to. It's a great example of how you know government policy, government regulation, right? You know, can change the story or change a market. I mean,
overnight.
Where chip makers were almost can't miss because of the fact that they had, you know, so much pricing power. You had such a supply and demand mismatch. Well, that completely changes when legislative risk comes into an entire sector, really.
Yep, exactly. Okay, BlackRock, a big financial, much hated by the ESG haters because BlackRock is a big lover of the ESG. And backs it wholeheartedly. They come in and report earnings. They beat by $2.28. They had a big beat on earnings, on revenue, but the stock is basically flat here today. And a really ugly chart, on BlackRock. Okay, the movers today. Got a hunch there's going to be some inverse ETFs in there. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. The market is coming back pretty nicely. The Dow's only down 85 right now, but the S&P is down 30. And the NASDAQ is down 156, 1.5%. But it was down a whole lot more out of the gate this morning when the market opened. Well, we've been talking about a lot of usual suspects here recently. I'm just looking at the top percent gainers out of a 6,000 database. And we're seeing a lot of the same ones leading the pack. There are a few, one notable exception on the long side, Domino's Pizza is up 8.8%, which is kind of surprising. You'd think they'd be getting squeezed. I paid $9.99 a pound for mozzarella cheese, whole milk mozzarella, at the local grocery store. I'm sure it's cheaper at Walmart. But Domino's Pizza is up 8.8% today. One of these stocks, and I think it's a member of the S&P 500. Okay, so that's one of the stocks that is bucking the downtrend here today. But on the inverse side, we got a whole bunch of them again. GDXD. This is kind of surprising. Inverse gold miners three times. You know, that strong dollar has just clobbered gold. It's got to reverse at some point in time. You know, the dollar is so extended and so just out of, sync with the rest of the world. But I guess maybe it's not because other currencies around the world in relation to the dollar are weaker. It's killing gold and the gold miners. The GDXD is up 16% today. That's three times inverse.
And yeah, and you would think that this environment would be the best environment that you could come up with, right?
Inflation.
For gold. Yeah, I mean, and so it's very the currency headwind is a huge factor.
Yep. Okay, we've talked about webs almost on a daily basis. I own a little bit. It's three times inverse, the Internet Composite Index. And again, when you look at a chart of Google, let's just look at that. That's a horrible chart. If you look at a chart of Netflix, that's just a dead chart, just an ugly chart. And it just goes on and on and on, these Meta, I haven't looked at it lately. I haven't wanted to look at it lately. I don't own it. It's just been trashed, absolutely trashed. I wonder how much net worth our friend Zuckerbucks has lost during this big sell-off. Okay, and then another good trade has continued to be being on the inverse side of the COVID intolerant China, where they continue to lock people down, cage them up in their own homes, not allowed to go out. Yang is three times inverse China. It's up 7.2%. And the little more less volatile, two times China is up, inverse China is up 5.3. That's one of the best charts in the entire market, FXP. I own it. We don't own it. I've considered it. But China is just so unpredictable. It's hard to buy for clients because they can come along with some kind of, loosen the regulations or whatever. They're always monkeying with their market over there. FXP is up 5.3% today, double inverse China. And then there's a one-to-one version, YXI. And Yang is on today's 61 stock trade ideas list. It's been on there for several days. That's if anybody picked up on that one, they've been doing really well. YXI is up 3.1%. It's one times inverse China. And it seems like we mentioned fanged every day, FNGD, which is three times inverse the FANG index. It's up 6.9%. All of these were up quite a bit more until they started falling back a little bit here. But still, that's not a bad move in one day, 6.9% on three times normal volume so far. And then the biotech 3X inverse is up 5.9%. These are the biggest percent movers in the market today, not counting the 27-cent stocks, the $1 stocks, the $2 stocks. These are ones that are, you know, mostly $10 or more in price. Three times inverse the NASDAQ, SQQQ. Is up 4.3% right now. It's coming back a little. It was up more than that. But the NASDAQ continues to come undone. And my favorite inverse ETF, SARK, which with Cathie Woods hitting 30-month lows, SARK is up 4.6% today. It's breaking out again. One of the best performing ETFs out there. SARK, S-A-R-K, which is one times inverse the ARK fund. And then, of course, there's TARK, which is double juiced on the long side. That thing's getting crushed. That thing was 33, and now it's 11. Two times inverse. So if you, I guess you could short TARK if you want. You could buy an inverse. You could short the ETF TARK and get two times inverse, Cathie Woods. You made a lot of money. That thing's gone from 30 down to 11. So if you're short that thing, you've gone from 11 to 30. You've almost tripled your money against her. And then the emerging markets, which have a big dose of China, EDZ, up 3.1%. Well, anyways, it's a day where the CPI came in hotter than expected, which we were pretty much expecting. The market sold off just viciously after that happened, and now it is coming back somewhat. There's a little bit of buying going on, but the overall trend of the market, obviously, is still down. I'll be updating my target price for the S&P 500 this week. It's based on, the best numbers that are out there, and along with our little bit of calculations in there, too. That I produce, and of course the target price is going to really depend on companies making the estimates that are out there on the street. I'm quite a bit lower, I'll just tell you that, than the consensus estimates out there. If you'd like to talk to us, if your guy or gal is doing nothing and telling you to stay the course, it could get worse. GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.